Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host, El Rey, discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show.
Hello all of our faithful listeners, this is El Rey here to tell you about Music House. Music House is a store by musicians for musicians, focused on the day-to-day needs of beginners to professionals alike. Music House helps you bring the music home. Whether you need supplies for band class, strings or sticks for a gig, acoustic treatment for your home studio, or even recording specialties, we are stocked and experienced to help you find a solution. Music House is located in Northwest Corpus Christi off Highway 77. Easy access to South Texas musicians. Follow us at Music House CC on your favorite social media platform or visit us at musichousecc.com for more info. And that's M-U-S-H-A-U-S.
Hi everybody and welcome back to another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Hoy hoy, everybody.
Been a pleasant spring break so far.
So far, so good.
Yeah, not much to complain about.
Nah, just relaxing. Weather's been good.
Surprisingly.
Yes.
That day we left wasn't so good.
That was a bad omen, but yeah. Didn't last.
Yeah, seems to be clearing up.
So, yeah, it's been pretty good.
Yeah. Well, enough of the weather report.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's jump right into this. Today we'll be discussing the 18th episode of the 5th season, titled Burns' Air, and it originally aired on April 14th of 1994. Before we get into this, I have to say this is one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the favorite, but one of my favorites.
I am a fan of this episode, very much so.
So many good moments.
Yeah.
But before we get into any of that,
yes,
let's start with our traditional chalkboard and couch gags.
And I have to say that it starts out really well with these. So the chalkboard gag, of course, is Bart Detention writing, "The Pledge of Allegiance does not end with Hail Satan."
He was a metalhead back in the day.
I guess so. That's one of the funnier chalkboard gags, I have to say. I can totally see that happening.
That is totally believable.
Yeah, that's. I'm sure that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we get to the couch gag, and we see these ball-shaped versions of the Simpsons family bouncing into the living room. They land on the couch one by one. I think Bart's is the last one bouncing around, and Homer grabs it, throws him on the couch, and the family ends up in their normal form.
Normal shape.
Yeah.
By the way, didn't that sound like a dodgeball when it was plunking you in the face when you were bouncing?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it reminded me of.
That crazy red inflatable ball sound.
Boing, boing. All right, so we're going to start off this episode at the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant. And Homer, as usual, he's sitting down at his desk, not doing much of anything. He's got a donut and he's just rolling it back and forth. He's like, lousy job. Nothing exciting ever happens. And then there's a bunch of commotion in the background.
Yes.
A guy comes in with a rather beautiful and scantily clad woman also.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And he goes up to Homer and he congratulates him. Congratulations, Homer Simpson. You've won the employee raffle.
Homer's like, woohoo, what did I get?
And apparently the prize is the job of industrial chimney sweep. And there's a big sign in the background, confetti, all that kind of stuff, sirens going off, right? And Homer's really happy.
Yeah, he's like, woohoo! He's thinking this is a real big prize.
And then we see what the prize actually is.
Yeah. It kind of, if you would imagine what a Brillo pad looks like.
Mm-hmm. Steel wool.
Yeah, steel wool. And, a person lodged in the middle and surrounded by hundreds, if not thousands, of Brillo pads.
Yeah.
That is what his job is going to be.
Yes, so they put him on a crane and they dunk him in and out of the smokestacks to the plant to clear them out. And yeah, it's not good. So he's super filthy by this point. Mm. And he's complaining. He says, this isn't such a great prize. But then he like consoles himself and he says, but the guys at the top work even harder.
Yep. And then we cut to Mr. Burns, the guy at the very top. And I have to say this, this is a glorious scene right
here.
Yes,
it is. Yes, it is.
Because we see Mr. Burns in a bubble bath in one of those kiddie pools. He's got a top hat on him. He's smoking a cigar.
Mm-hmm. He's shirtless.
Shirtless, yes. And he has a bag of extra fancy potato chips for his eating pleasure. And Mr. Smithers is about to give him a sponge bath.
Yes. And he scolds Smithers. He says, careful, that sponge has corners, you know. Which, again, of course, the frailty of Mr. Burns.
Yeah, I guess he's going to get cut by the sponges with corners. Mm-hmm. So Smithers says, I'll go find a spherical one, sir. And as he leaves, he places the sponge on top of Burns' top hat. Mm-hmm. And then what happens?
We see slowly that the weight of the sponge is too great, and Mr. Burns is sinking into the tub. Mm-hmm. And he's calling out for Smithers, but he can't do it. So he sinks into the tub, and his life starts flashing before his eyes.
Yeah.
He even mentions it, right? Like, life flashing
before eyes, before he goes completely into the water.
And we go to baby Monty Burns drinking from a bottle. Mm-hmm. Being held by a nanny, but the milk, he doesn't like it, apparently, and he fires her.
Mm-hmm. As a baby?
As a baby, yes. And then we have a young man, Mr. Burns, shooting a gun at another man's feet, telling him to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And the man dances, you know, away from the bullet. But this is really old, because Mr. Burns has to reload his pistol.
Yeah, and he's got a pack to pack it in there.
And he shoots him again. Dance!
Yep.
Yeah, so...
By the way, there's a continuity error there. Did you spot his hair?
Yes, it was not strawberry blonde.
It was not strawberry blonde. No. It was dark brown.
Yes, that's true.
Yep.
And we fast forward a little bit to Mr. Burns' life, and we see two hippies on a boat, and they're it's like a Greenpeace boat, right? And they're going up to this big rig out there. The hippies like, we're going to stop those corporate pigs from dumping that nuclear waste.
And the second guy's like, oh no, our boat is sinking.
And then we see Mr. Burns.
In a really bad disguise.
Yes, he's dressed as a hippie and he removes the
tie-dye shirt.
Yeah, the tie-dye shirt and the hair. And he has a guitar. And he says, it was I, you fools. The man you trusted wasn't wavy gravy at all. And all this time I've been smoking harmless tobacco.
I guess he's sinking the ship.
Yeah.
While this is happening.
And so, he runs off the boat and he jumps into the water and he pulls a little cord in his life jacket that inflates and he swims away laughing at the sinking ship.
Yep. By the way, the whole, in case you're wondering why he's saying he's smoking harmless tobacco, kids, hippies were known for smoking other substances.
He even has a smoking device in this scene, which I'm surprised that Disney left on there.
Yep, yep. But it's on there. It's on there.
The Michael Jackson episode was too great.
Yes. It had to be taken down.
Wow.
Anyway, so Smithers finally comes in, right? He's like, I got a mink chamois, sir. Yes. And then he sees Mr. Burns is in the water. He's like, oh my God, Mr. Burns is dead. Why do the good always die so young?
Oh my goodness.
Of course, Burns is older than dirt.
So. Yeah. And as Smithers is crying, Mr. Burns rises from the water quickly and he grabs Smithers and he's strangling him. He's like, you almost killed me.
And then Smithers is like, please, sir, you'll catch cold. As he's trying to cover him up with a blanket.
Yeah, he's still trying to take care of him.
Uh-huh.
And so later on, they're sitting there and he's talking to Smithers and says, you know, do you realize if I had died, there'd be no one to carry on my legacy? Due to my hectic schedule and lethargic sperm, I never fathered an heir. Now I have no one to leave my huge fortune to, right? No one. A little too much detail there.
Yeah. And Smithers is like, ahem.
And so it's like, oh, you, Smithers? Oh, not you, Smithers, right? He tells my dear friend, he has bigger plans for him, right? Mm-hmm. When he passes on, Smithers is going to be buried alive with Mr. Burns. And he even has a diagram.
Yeah, it's a little model.
Yes, and it's Burns there in the coffin, and underneath is Smithers in terror.
As they're closing the coffin on
him. Yeah, as they're closing the coffin.
And Smithers is like, oh, goody.
That's so terrible.
Uh-huh. So next thing we know, we're at the movie theater. Mm-hmm. And apparently they're going to watch Siskel and Ebert, the movie.
Which got two thumbs up from Siskel and Ebert.
I wonder why.
Yes.
Anyway, so the movie is about to begin. So they start with the usual promos. And back in the day, they don't do this one anymore. But the old THX, mm-hmm. The music would start really low and it would get really, really loud. They could demonstrate the quality of THX sound.
Yes. Just how earth-shattering it was.
Yes. So they're doing something similar here. And we see Hans Molman's glasses shatter. Mm-hmm. Some old man breaks his teeth. Mm-hmm. The exit sign explodes.
Yep.
And plaster is starting to fall from the ceiling. And we even see a guy's head explode.
Yeah. Like that movie Scanners.
Yes, yes.
And, everybody's cheering about this, except for Abe Simpson, who I guess can't hear, and is telling them to turn it up.
Okay. He's deaf as nails, I guess.
Yes. And then, so instead of getting a movie preview, we actually get Mr. Burns on screen in a large green field. Right? And he's there, and he says, hello, I'm Montgomery Burns.
Homer's in the crowd, he's like, ah!
Always scared.
Yes.
And so he says, now then, I'm looking for a suitable young male heir to leave my fortune to when I pass away. My vast, vast, vast fortune. Vast. And the audience starts talking, right? And he says, additions will be tomorrow at my estate. And now, our feature presentation. And then someone's whispering to him, yeah. Right? He's like, oh, very well. And the music starts and Mr. Burns starts singing. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Get ourselves some snacks. Which they don't play at the movies anymore.
No, sadly. They don't. They just do the whole, what is it now? The popcorn and aliens and
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Anyway.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah. So next thing we know, it's the next night and we're at Burns' estate. And every single young boy in Springfield is there with their parents, right? We see Bart, Milhouse, Martin, Ralph, and they're all in like a little private auditorium. And Mr. Burns is sitting in the audience by himself. And Mr. Smithers is behind him holding a clipboard. And the first one on the tryout list is none other than Milhouse.
Yes. So Milhouse takes the stage in his tuxedo and he says, I have nothing to offer you but my love.
And Burns says, I specifically said no geeks.
And Milhouse says, but my mom says I'm cool.
Next!
Oh my goodness.
Milhouse can't get any love here.
No. Yeah.
He did look like a dweeb though, I will say that. Mm-hmm. And shockingly, it'll get worse.
You know, and we're early in this episode. We've already hit meme territory twice.
Yes,
Burns in the
tub,
and then right now, Milhouse
on stage.
My mom says I'm cool.
Mm-hmm. And there's more to come too.
Yes, there is.
It's a great episode.
And so then Nelson is next, and he says, "Give me your fortune, or I'll pound your withered old face in."
And Burns like, "Ooh, I like his energy. Put him on the callback list."
And then we have Martin.
Yes.
Of course, who has music. Clang, clang, clang with the trolley. Ring, ring, ring with the bell. Zing, zing, zing with my heartstrings. And then we hear, whoa! He just gets
Nelson
the wind.
Because Nelson came in and punched him right in the gut.
Yep.
By the way, I mean, he was all in an outfit. He had the the overalls yes. and the conductor hat and everything.
Theater, yes.
Oh my God.
And so then, yeah. Yeah. Burns jumps in and says, "Thank you." Gives the booty an extra point.
So then Lisa gets on stage and she clears her throat. I propose to you that your heir need not be a boy in this phallocentric society of ours.
And Burns just jumps in and says, "I don't know what phallocentric means, but no girls."
And then
exactly
what phallocentric means, right?
Yes.
So then we cut to the backstage and we see young Milhouse again.
Yes.
In drag.
Yes. And he says, "So much for plan B." He's about to go up there as a girl. He's got the wig on.
Yeah.
He's putting on a dress.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty bad.
By the way, the wig was so bad, it was just like a mop.
Yeah.
Just a mop. That's what his wig was. So then next up is Bart.
Yes. And Homer's there trying to give him motivations like, "That's it, boy. You're our last hope."
And Bart's like, "I just don't want to be here, Dad. Besides, I started a fire this morning that I really should be keeping an eye on."
And then so Marge, you know, tries to console him a little bit. She says, "You know, this is going to be for your whole future. You'll have everything provided for you, right?" And she goes into a little daydream sequence and she sees Bart at Harvard getting his diploma. And I love the little speech there, like, "Congratulations, you've graduated from the most expensive and therefore the best university." Which is not true,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
No, not true at all.
Maybe the best university for some things.
Yes, but not for everything.
Not for everything. Mm. And so then Marge is watching from the audience in her daydream, and Lee Majors approaches her. And
by the way, that's the $6 million man.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, the $6 million man. Lee Majors, of course, approaches her and asks her to come away with him.
Right? And she gladly says yes.
Yes, and we hear the bionic noise, nah, 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 and he jumps into the air with Marge. And we get back to reality, and Marge catches herself and says, "I really need to stop fantasizing about Lee Majors." She says, "One more." And then she closes her eyes. And
we hear the noise. Nah, 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 nah. So then Homer goes, "Okay, boy. I wrote down exactly what to say. Just read it, and you're a shoo-in."
So, yeah, Bart goes on stage.
With the cards,
With the cards, and he says, "Hello, Mr. Kearns. I bad. Want money now. Me sick."
And Homer's off stage. "Ooh, he card reads good."
So Bart keeps going. "So please, pick please me, Mr. Burns."
"It's Kearns, stupid!"
It's Homer yells from off the stage, and Marge is there. "No, it's not."
And Homer's like, "Disregard."
Wow.
He doesn't even know his own boss.
I
guess it's fair enough. Burns never remembers Homer.
Mm-hmm. But to his own son, just like that.
Yes.
"Start stupid." So bad.
Burns really, really hates Bart's little spiel.
He hated everybody's.
Uh-huh, but especially Bart's.
Yep.
So he asks Bart, he tells everybody to get out except for Bart. Then he tells him, "Can you just please take one step to the left?" And Bart takes that step to the left. And Burns goes up to the wall and he turns this gear, right? He gives it a complete turn. Then he walks over to the next one because there's another little gear that he turns. And when he turns this, because we see Bart standing. And we see a little mechanical leg.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the first, he spun around the first gear, we see the leg retract. Mm-hmm. And the second wheel gets him to kick Bart right in the butt.
Yep. And to Homer, this is the funniest thing ever. He just starts laughing. "The boot kicked Bart. It kicked him right in the butt." And Homer is losing it.
Mm-hmm. And, the family is going down the driveway. And Marge sees that the kids are kind of upset. She goes, "I think Bart and Lisa are feeling a little upset right now. Isn't there something you'd like to say?"
And Homer, in his wisdom, gives some fatherly advice here. Says, "There sure is. Kids, you tried your best. And you failed miserably. The lesson is, never try." Right in the butt. That was great. Still hasn't let it go.
No, he hasn't.
So never try, as Homer's advice.
Never try. That's not the only time he gives that piece of advice.
Yeah. Either. Just terrible Homer advice. Mm-hmm.
Burns, of course, is not too happy also. He's sitting in his office alone, and he's saying, "It's no use. I guess I'll have to leave all my money to the Egg Advisory Council. Eggs have gotten a bad rap lately, you know, Smithers."
And as he says that, a rock comes through the window. Right.
He says, "Ooh, look, a bird has become petrified and lost its sense of direction."
Wow. So Smithers says, "I think it's a rock, sir."
And Burns like, "We'll see what the guys at the lab have to say about this."
And so another rock or petrified bird comes through the window. And then another, and then another. And we look outside and we see Bart just throwing rocks in every direction at every window he can see.
Yes.
And Burns is like, "Why, that rapscallion is breaking all my windows." And, you know, he's also destroying the statues outside of the estate. And he floods the car, which looks like a Rolls Royce. And then he removes the "no solicitors" sign from the front of the mansion. And all these people just run in.
And Burns is like, hey, look, Smithers, a creature of pure malevolence. He's perfect. He's the perfect one to suckle at my proverbial teat. So then he opens the door. He screams, "You there, boy, what day is this?"
You see a little kid there saying, "Today? So why, it's Christmas Day."
And Burns is like, "I was talking to him. You, what day is this?"
And he's pointing at Bart. Bart's confused, like, "Huh? Like, what's going on?"
Yeah, and Burns like, "I'll tell you what day it is. Today is the day you became my heir."
Yes. It's a little Charles Dickens reference in there.
Yeah. Yep, with the orphan and it's Christmas Day.
Yeah, and of course, he is Ebenezer Scrooge, yes. Mr. Burns. Mm. And as he does this, Bart throws another rock and it hits Smithers right in the face. Mm. And Burns comments, "Ooh, I like him a lot."
So we end the first scene and we open up with Homer signing some legal documents that make Bart Mr. Burns' legal heir in the Simpsons dining room as reporters look on.
So Mr. Burns is there and he says, "Sign here and your son will stand to inherit my entire estate."
Homer can't contain him, so he's like, "Woohoo, we're rich. Bart, get over to the mansion and open up all the windows. I want to get the old people smell out before we move in."
And Lisa's just there like, "Dad, Mr. Burns hasn't passed away yet."
And Homer's like, "Huh? Oh, right. So I guess you're in okay shape, huh? No heart problems or anything?"
"Well, I..."
Boo!
And he tries to scare Mr. Burns, but Grandpa's there, Abe is there. And Abe just starts, "My heart!" So what he was trying to do to Burns ends up happening to Grandpa. His father, yep.
He wind up scaring his father almost to death there.
So bad.
So then Burns is finally leaving, and the family is, of course, trying to see him off. Bart says, "Now that you've agreed to reap the windfall of my death, I must return to my large empty mansion to rattle around and await the inevitable alone."
Yep. And he walks off, right? And Marge looks at Homer. She's like, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?"
Homer's like, "Yeah, let's push him down the steps."
My God. And so Marge says, "Bart, he's giving you all his money. It'd be nice if you spent some time."
And Bart's like, "Well..."
And Bart tells him, "Come on, you know."
"All right."
Yes. And Homer jumps in and says, "Oh, how come Bart gets to do that and I can't spend one night lurking in the bushes outside Chef Boyardee's house?" Yeah, I don't know.
I think Homer has a problem here.
Yes, he does. And so Bart goes over for dinner, right? He's sitting there at a long table across from Mr. Burns. And Mr. Burns is talking to him. He says, "Bart, I know you children see me as some sort of booger man, but I'm really not such a bad dude." He says, "Oh, your milk's gone cold. I'll ring for the maid." And he pushes a button, and it does not ring for the maid, but these bars come out, and they wrap around Bart's jaw and his wrist. And Mr. Burns is like, "Oh, sorry, wrong button."
And then Bart's like, "I think I'd like to go home."
And Bart says, "Oh, this day you can have anything you want, even some sort of gelatin dish. It's made from hooves, you know.
By the way, that is true. But you know why they also say we're going to send your horse down to the glue factory? Because of the hooves.
Yeah. Make glue out of them?
Yeah, they make glue out of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, very, very weird.
And so Bart actually does take advantage of this. He wants a pizza delivered by Krusty the Clown. Right? And it happens. Right? Krusty walks in with the pizza and then he demands his $400. And Bart asks him, how can you be here delivering the pizza and the show's on right now?
And Krusty says, I just put on a rerun. No one's going to be able to tell the difference.
And then it goes into the rerun, and the rerun is playing. It's interrupted with a news bulletin that the Falkland Islands have been invaded.
And so, of course, if this is airing in 94, that happened in the 80s, back when Margaret Thatcher was in power in Great Britain over there.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wonder how many people would have gotten scared with that.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't know this was an old episode, probably. Right.
And so Bart hangs around, and Burns is showing him all the stuff in the mansion, which includes a room full of TVs, right? And he's got hidden cameras all over Springfield, which is really creepy.
Yes.
But he got the movie from that movie, Sliver.
Yeah, he got the idea.
Yes, the idea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which Burns called a delightful romp.
Yeah, that's a very, very creepy movie.
That is, yeah.
So then one of the cameras shows Mo. And he's talking to himself, and he's wearing these, like, fatigue-looking things.
Yeah, and he's got a little coat on.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, are you talking to me? He's like, there's no one else here. You must be talking to me. And he kind of, like, picks his hand up, and a gun flies out of his sleeve and smashes into the mirror.
Yeah, his antique mirror.
Yes.
So apparently, yeah, this is of course the taxi driver reference here, where he's got the little spring-loaded thing to have the gun draw out real quick.
Yeah.
Mo's didn't work.
No.
But oh well.
And his "Are you talking to me?" wasn't as menacing as De Niro's.
No, no, no way. Nobody can do that like De Niro.
No.
Classic movie. Classic movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Homer on one of these, and Homer sneaks into the bathroom, and he locks the door behind him, and he's holding flowers. And he starts eating the flowers, and they're tulips.
Yeah. He just, like, eats a tulip bulb one after another.
Yeah.
And Bart's like, so that explains his mysterious trip to Holland.
Yeah. And, yeah, so Bart gets home, right, and he's talking to the family. He says, had the greatest time. Mr. Burns' house has everything, a hedge maze, a moat, bleached hardwood floors, and a bottomless pit.
And Lisa's like, it couldn't possibly be bottomless.
No, for all intents and purposes, it is.
So, we're dinner the next day, and Bart is acting up even more than usual. He's flicking his peas at Lisa.
Yes.
And Lisa's like, hey, Mom, Bart's throwing peas.
And so Marge jumps in and says, don't throw peas at your sister.
And Bart's like, Mr. Burns throws peas at Smithers.
Yes.
And he flicks another one out.
Yes. And Lisa yells again, you know, that was a big one. And Marge jumps in and says, Homer, say something.
He says, okay, Lisa, quit getting in the way of your wealthy brother's peas.
Oh, goodness. Obviously a favorite there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bart complains about the food then. He says, oh, yuck, meatloaf, my most hated of all loaves. And he gets his piece off his plate and he feeds it to the Santa's little helper.
And Homer just like, aghast. He's like, that was the end piece. That's it. Being abusive to your family is one thing, but I'll not stand idly by and watch you feed a hungry dog. Go to your room.
And Bart says, this family stinks. Mr. Burns nature's my destructive side. I'm suffocating here.
And Homer's like, Bart, you listen.
And Bart says, I'll go eat some flowers. And he throws some at Homer.
Homer's like, my secret shame. Oh, my God.
Yes, it just broke Homer that moment that Bart knew. Like,
go eat some flowers.
So Bart takes off, and he rides his bike all the way to Mr. Burns' house, right?
By the way, we're at work, and I just tell you to go eat some flowers.
Right.
Go eat
some flowers.
Yeah.
Our secret shame.
Yes. That's a lot more appropriate at work than go to hell.
Yeah. Who eats some flowers? Hey, people have those weird, you know, things about them.
That is true.
There was a person that would eat crayons.
Yeah.
There's people that eat that. There was actually one I would see at the big district-wide meetings sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oof.
This is years ago, though.
Oof.
Yep.
I guess it takes all kinds.
It's all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least they're not toxic.
That is true. Neither is Plato, as Homer found out later.
Yes. And so Burns sees Bart right up, right? And he's happy to tell Smithers, see, his plan worked perfectly, right? Bart Simpson will live here as my son, and I will mold him in my own graven image. Who knows? I may even grow to love him.
And then we see Bart running up the stairs.
And Burns is happy. He says, Bartholomew!
And then Bart hugs his legs.
And Burns is just like, Smithers, get it off me! And then, of course, Homer shows up.
Yes. And he pulls up his cart up to the door. And in doing so, he runs over Bart's bicycle. He says, Bart, you're coming home.
And Bart says, I want to stay here with Mr. Burns. Like, let's say he's not going.
And Burns is like, I suggest you move, you leave immediately.
Homer, this is one of my favorite parts of the episode. He says, or what? You release the dogs or the bees? Are the dogs with bees in their mouths, and when they bark, they shoot bees at you? Well, go ahead. Do your worst.
And Burns, Bart, and Smithers just turn around and close the door behind them.
And Homer's, he locked the door. I'll show him. And he runs up to the door, rings the doorbell, and runs away.
I guess he figured Ding Dong Ditch would be...
I guess he got the last laugh to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so they, Marge and Homer don't know what to do, so they go to the police for help, right? And Marge is there talking. She's like, I'm very concerned. Mr. Burns has stolen our son, and he won't give him back.
And I'm sorry, Wiggum's like, oh my gosh. Can't you people solve these problems yourselves? I mean, we can't be policing the whole city. I guess it's unreasonable to expect the cops to do their job.
Yeah. And so the cops aren't going to help. So they have to pursue legal action. And of course, they recruit Lionel Hutz.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in this... this episode is his law office, and he's also shoe repair.
Yes. And, of course, he's voiced by none other than the legendary...
Yes, the great...
Phil Hartman. So then Lionel's like, well, you good folks can rest easy now because you've come to the very best in legal representation.
And Skinner's walking around, apparently, and says, is there an Orange Julius stand on this floor?
And Hutz is like, I'll tell you this one. It's almost full.
Well, why... Why don't I drink out of a toilet bowl?
And he leaves, and Hutz is like, he'll be back. As for your case, don't worry. I've argued in front of every judge in this state, often as a lawyer. So I guess he's been a defendant in many cases.
Yep. Oh, man. So then we cut to the court case, and it doesn't go well.
Mm-mm.
Right, the judge rules in favor of Mr. Burns, who is clearly the boy's biological father. Yeah, no.
I guess you get what you pay for, right?
Yeah, you do.
So the judge reads the verdict, we see Hutz kind of like with nails in his teeth, and he's trying to hammer the soles back on the shoe,
mm-hmm.
and he tells the judge that his shoes will be ready later this week, and Marge concludes that they need to stop hiring this man.
Yeah, they should have learned that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cut to the next scene, and Bart is living the good life, apparently, because we are in his huge room full of toys, and Milhouse is over, hanging out with Bart. And they're shooting basketballs around. There's a train going by, right? Milhouse makes a comment on it. He says, that's a cool train. Where does it go?
Bart's like, beats me, but it won't be back for 3 hours and 40 minutes. Once it had snow on it.
That's
quite a train.
Geographical oddity again.
Mm-hmm.
And so Milhouse is just telling Bart that he has everything he could, you know, ever want. And his own parents used love as an excuse not to buy him toys. Right? And so Milhouse, you know, I guess he's had enough. And he says, well, I'll leave you alone, Bart, so you can be alone with your toys. But Bart doesn't want him to leave.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. He says... I'll give you this jacket if you stay. It's a Bob Mackie.
And Milhouse is amazed, right? Wow, a Bob Mackie.
He starts checking out the jacket and everything.
Yep.
He says, no, I got to go home.
Yep. And so Mr. Burns notices that. He walks in. He says, Bartholomew, you don't need him. I can be your schoolyard chum. And I guess he's going to go play with him outside because we cut to outside on the grounds and Mr. Burns is in his old football uniform, the old leatherhead one.
Yep.
And Smithers is there holding a the ball, right? Because Burns is going to kick it off.
I like Lucy and
Charlie Brown. Uh-huh. And I love this because Mr. Burns just runs out of gas before he gets to the ball, ends up kicking Smithers in the face. And they both just pass out into the yard.
It was a glorious scene. It was.
That was a good kick. You would have hit the ball.
Yep. So next thing we know, Mr. Burns.
Mr. Snurb.
I was thinking of Mr. Mern from Peacemaker.
Peacemaker.
But Mr. Burns decides to pick it up a little notch. Pick it up a notch, and he gifts Bart a red convertible.
Yes, which looks remarkably like a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
They won't say it out loud.
No. Bart's like, for me? But I don't know how to drive.
Burns just says, piss posh, right? There's a Jaws of Life in the trunk. Oh, you'll be okay.
Yeah. So next thing we know, we see the car whizzing down Springfield, I guess, because we can't really tell where he is, because all we see is the top of Bart's hair, his little hands. And he obviously can't see where he's going.
Yeah, so we just see the sky and the car's moving fast. And, of course, you just see things flying around like fire hydrants and
mailboxes
and all kinds of that stuff, right? And then apparently it's around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
There's some Christmas decorations that go, candy canes, reindeer, elf, all that stuff, right?
Even little elves.
Yes, and apparently when Bart stops, he's like, that was some ride. And apparently there was an actual elf in the back seat.
Yeah.
He pops out.
Yeah, he ran him over. He was actually stuck on the windshield for a while. And the little elf is like, you're telling me.
And so none of this has worked. Marge and Homer can't get Bart back, so they go to the Conformco Brain Deprogrammers. Yes.
And the deprogrammer's like, Mr. and Mrs. Simpson, your son has clearly been brainwashed by the evil and charismatic Mr. Burns.
And Marge is concerned. It's like, are you sure you can get him back for us?
Absolutely. I'm the one who successfully deprogrammed Jane Fonda, you know?
And Marge says, what about Peter Fonda?
Oh, that was a heartbreaker. But I did get Paul McCartney out of Wings.
And Homer jumps and says, you idiot! He was the most talented one!
Oh, my God.
I like Wings.
I know. You know how I feel.
Yes. But it's not the Beatles, but even then.
But I do like wings, though. But the ones you get at Wingstop.
Dad joke.
Yes, very, very.
Man, you're getting into granddad joke territory now.
Hey. Oh, boy. I got to warm myself up. I'm easing into it.
And so we see the deprogrammer, and they are at the Happy Earwig Motel. Ugh, it's so gross.
Mm-hmm.
And he's carrying a person in a blanket, right? A small person. You can tell who, you can't tell who it is, but. And they put him inside a hotel room, and he just starts yelling at him. You do not love Mr. Burns. You love Homer and Marge. You are their son. What you're doing is wrong. Wrong. Wrong.
And we cut to the next room, and we see Mayor Quimby in bed with a.
Woman that is not his wife.
Woman that is not his wife. And he's like, do you mind? You're killing the romance in here.
Oh, my goodness.
I guess he didn't want to hear what you're doing is wrong.
While he was doing wrong.
Uh-huh.
And so we cut to outside, and Homer and Marge are pacing back and forth outside the room. And the deprogrammer walks out, and he says, well, it was a grueling 2 weeks, but you have your son back.
And we see none other than Hans Molman walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Mom, Dad, I missed you.
And Homer just runs out there and starts kissing him. And Marge jumps in and says, Homer, that's Hans Molman.
Can I keep it anyway? Huh?
For some reason.
Yeah.
And so we cut to Mr. Burns' mansion, and him and Bart are watching TV. And Itchy and Scratchy comes on. And they're watching an episode called The Buck Chops Here. And It's Itchy and Scratchy. They are outside the U.S. Mint. They're taking a tour, right? They shake hands. They walk in, and they go into the large rooms with the money everywhere. And Itchy grabs one, right? And he starts pounding Scratchy with it.
Yeah.
And so Scratchy's all flat. They throw him on this big conveyor belt. They flatten him. They stamp him with the dollar bills. Mm-hmm. They cut him up, right? Make him into cash. And they can put him in an armored car.
Transported across town.
Yes, transported across town to a convention where there's all these dogs.
There's a tycoon convention. Yes,
tycoon convention, mm-hmm. right? And all these dogs are smoking cigars. And they are all getting handed bills by Itchy to light their cigars on fire. And nice. This is a cool little detail because apparently the bills are still alive, right? Mm-hmm. Scratch is still in there. And the eye on the pyramid. When he sees the
fire coming
out. Yeah, starts freaking out before it burns up. And so that was, it was good, you know, and Burns is laughing at this big time. He's there. Is all TV this wonderful, right?
Yeah, he couldn't stop laughing at all.
Yeah.
And even Bart finds that disturbing after a while. He's like, Mr. Burns, I don't want to seem ungrateful, but I want to go home to my family.
Mm-hmm. And the whole time Burns is laughing, right? What is it? They butchered him like a hog.
I butchered him like a hog. A hog. But this gets him to stop laughing.
Yes. And so he says, well, I was hoping I wouldn't have to tell you this, but I'm afraid your family doesn't want you back. And he flips the switch, and this monitor comes on, and it shows the family at home. Right? And it's Homer, but you hear the voice, and it's not Homer. It's like, I do not miss Bart at all.
And we hear Marge, again, not Marge's voice. Mm-hmm. I am glad he's gone.
And then Lisa, as am I.
And then we see Homer drop a sandwich, and he says, "Oh!"
And Bart kind of looks at the screen funny. He's like, it's probably my imagination, but something about them didn't seem quite right.
And Burns is like, really? Excuse me for just a moment. And he kind of like turns off the monitor. He walks into the next room, closes the door, and it's a TV set that's been set up to look like the Simpsons living room.
Yep. And Burns is upset, right? He's like, people, that was all wrong. Homer Simpson doesn't say, Bo. He says, and he looks at the script, and he flicks it.
He flicks the pages.
Doe! And so, yeah, one of the actors is, I guess, upset, and he pulls off his Homer Simpson mask.
Yeah, and he kind of looks like Michael Caine.
The great Michael Caine.
Yes, yes. Alfred in the old Batman, Christian Bale Batman movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like,
Austin Powers' dad.
Yeah, Austin Powers' dad, too. Can't forget that legendary role.
Yep.
So he says, sorry, MB, but I'm having trouble with this character. Is he supposed to have some neurological impairment like Rain Man or Awakenings? I mean, what the hell am I doing here?
And the lady playing Marge, she says, and this dialogue has none of the wit and sparkle of Murphy Brown, which is an old TV show.
Yeah, back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's one of them. It's like one of the few shows made about, comedies made about politics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, so then the actor that's playing Lisa, it's a midget, right? He takes off the Lisa mask. He's like, hey, you know, we're getting to golden time. Of course, that means overtime.
Yes. And it's the same person that Bart ran over with the car.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so Burns says, yes, well, just get it right, or you'll all be doing come blow your horn at the Westport Dinner Theater. And he walks back into the control room. And he's like, hey, Bart, let's see what the old Simpson family is up to now. And he flicks on the TV again. And the actor Homer drops his sandwich and says, duh, oh. Yeah.
And then Bart's like, I can't believe it. Right? He says, I guess they really don't want me anymore. He's, you're really the only one I can trust. Dad, and he gives Mr. Burns a hug.
Yeah, and Mr. Burns hugs him back, and we hear a crack.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear Mr. Burns say, that rib always breaks. Oh my goodness.
How feeble is this old man? Extremely feeble.
Yep. And so we're back at the Simpsons house. We cut back, and the family is missing Bart. Right? Marge is looking at a baby picture of Bart, and she's all sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Lisa tearing up the wallpaper. And Marge is like, Lisa, what are you doing?
And Lisa's like, just trying to fill the void of random, meaningless destruction Bart's absence has left in our hearts.
And Homer walks into the room and then she trips. And Marge's like, "Oh, that's sweet, honey."
Bart, we cut back to Bart and Burns, right? And they're making a trip down to the tailor. And Bart is being fitted with a suit just like his adopted father's. Mm-hmm. And Bart kind of like wears the suit and he stands up, but he can't really stand up. Mm-hmm. He's like, "It's a little tight."
And Burns says, "Yes, that's to correct your posture. Soon you'll have a mighty hump. Now you really are my son. This calls for celebration. Let's fire some employees."
And Bart says, "Excellent."
A mighty hump.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Burns. And so we're at the power plant, right? They're in Burns' office. And Burns says, "Okay, you know, bring the first guy in, which is Lenny." And so Burns says, "Okay, let's make this sporting, Leonard. If you can tell me why I shouldn't fire you without using the letter E, you can keep your job."
And Lenny's like, "Okay, I'm a good work guy."
"You're fired."
"But I didn't say."
And Burns says, "You will." And he pushes the button on his desk. The floor opens up.
And Lenny says, "Ee!"
as he falls to the bottom of the pit.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bart's laughing and he says, "Let me try one."
And so Bart pushes a button and Homer walks in with a bunch of donuts in his arm.
Mm-hmm. And he's following them. Mm-hmm. He says, "Hey, the trail of donuts ended. Bart!" And he sees Bart there, right?
Bart's like, "Homer!"
And so Burns says, "What a coincidence! And a perfect opportunity to prove your loyalty. Go ahead, Bartholomew. You may fire when ready."
And Bart's kind of reluctant.
Mm-hmm. And Burns says, "Hurry, fire him now or I'll disown you. You'll lose everything. The fabulous toys, the lifetime of wealth and luxury, the gift certificate from Blockbuster Video, the freedom to do whatever you want."
And Homer looks at Bart and says, "I'll miss you, son."
And Bart says, "I'm sorry, Dad. You're fired." And he's pointing at Mr. Burns. And Mr. Burns is like, "What? Fire me? That does it. You can never be my son."
And Bart goes a little to the left.
He's like, oh, very well. You can never be my..." And
Bart pushes the lever, pushes the button, and the trap door opens.
And we hear Burns.
And right after Burns falls in, Smithers jumps in. He says, "Sir, try to land on Leonard's carcass."
That's so dark. Yep. That's so dark. And so we cut back to the Simpsons house, right? And Homer's talking to Bart. He's like, "Son, I know you're upset because you thought you saw us on TV saying we didn't want you in the family. But those are just actors playing us."
Bart's like, "How do you know?"
"Because one of them hung out with me for a week trying to get my character down."
And Lisa's like, "Yeah, me too. That midget taught me a lot from his native Estonia."
Mm-hmm. And Marge says, "The point is, the real Simpson family missed you, and we're all really glad you're home." And she kisses Bart.
And Bart's like, "I love you guys."
Marge says, "Right back at you, son." And they all hug. And then Homer tells him, "And now I want you to meet your new brother, Hans Molman." We get into meme territory again.
Because Hans walks out dressed like Bart, holding a skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Cowabunga, dudes."
And Homer just starts kissing him over and over again. And he tells everybody, "Try it. It's like kissing a peanut." Like, oh, that's so gross.
Yes, it is.
I don't understand how that's a peanut.
And then as the show ends and we get to the credits, we just hear Marge yelling, "Homer, I want that thing out of my house." I guess Hans Molman can't catch a break.
No, he cannot. And that's the episode.
Yep. So, again, this I love this episode. So many good things about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get right down to it. On a scale of 1 to 5 donuts, what do you think?
Oh, it's a 5 donut episode all day. There's so many references in it. So many little jokes in it. It's very Burns-centric, which I love, mm-hmm. of course. It's just classic.
Yeah. I mean, this episode gets a 5 for me every day and twice on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to like about this.
Even the couch gag and the chalkboard gag.
Yeah, the writing is so good here. Gags everywhere, references everywhere.
References within references.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole sliver thing's a reference, and then the taxi driver reference within the sliver reference.
Yes.
It's like, wow.
Yep. It's like a puzzle wrapped up in a conundrum or whatever.
Yes, it's so good.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, there's just so much to love about this episode. Anytime it's on, I stop what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I sit down and I watch this episode.
Definitely a top 10 for mm-hmm. sure. It's in the top 10. It's so good. And again, Burns is great in this episode also.
How many memes did this episode give us?
Let's see.
Like three or four.
Off the top of my head, three.
Uh-huh.
See, there's again the Burns in the beginning sitting in the tub. And then the
Milhouse.
Milhouse, my mom thinks I'm cool. And then there's the Cowabunga dudes at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if
there's another one.
There has to be another one in there somewhere. But yeah, it's just everywhere the episode goes is great.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame we're close to wrapping up the season
mm-hmm.
because it seems like the episodes are getting better and better.
Yeah, it's finishing strong. It really is.
Mm-hmm. There was a little lull in like the middle of the season, but it's ending really, really strongly here.
Man, but yes. Mr. Burns has given too much information on a couple things.
Yeah.
It's the lethargic spur.
And then Homer can't write it all.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, he can't read good.
I'm surprised they left in that scene where Burns is foiling the hippies.
It's Kern, stupid.
That too, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't take out the smoking device.
Yeah, none of that.
The reference to the hippie lettuce.
Mm. There really was a Wavy Gravy, by the way.
There was?
Mm-hmm. There was a hippie named Wavy Gravy.
Mm. I do not. I'm not that into.
He died a few years ago, I think. He's famous for.
I was going to ask, what's he famous for?
Well, he's famous in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, I think I'm right on this. There's that very famous video clip from Woodstock where this one guy gets on the PA system mm-hmm. and he says, "Everybody, there's a bad batch of something going in the crowd."
Yeah.
That's him saying that over the PA
system. I think it was LSD or
something. Yeah, something like that, yeah. That's him saying that. That's Wavy Gravy, yeah, apparently.
Oh, learn something new every day. I thought it was just a bad name that Burns made up.
No, it was an actual hippie name, Wavy Gravy.
I guess he didn't put that much effort in his hippie name.
I guess not. Somebody in the Simpsons writing staff is a hippie.
Yes.
For sure.
Or their dad was a hippie.
Yes. But yeah, love this episode. Everything about it. It can't go wrong.
Not at all. I mean, it's a shame we don't get more episodes like this. Where Burns is one of the central figures driving the episode. Because he seems to do a very good job every time they use him.
Yeah. Just in the frailty, it's so... Just the contrast of his power and his frailty is just hilarious.
All that power and that broken body. Oh, well. So, is there anything else you'd like to mention before we sign off for the week?
No, just hope everybody's enjoying the holiday, right? You'll hear this before the holiday's over, hopefully, so hope it's going well. Be safe.
Don't do anything dumb.
Yeah, don't do anything dumb, all right? Okay. Don't hang out with anybody doing anything dumb.
Okay, I know that's a stretch, so don't do anything too dumb.
Yeah. No, be dumb. Don't be stupid. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Being dumb, all right, yeah, that's okay.
We get it. We get it.
Yeah, don't be stupid.
Yeah, no, that's something else altogether. And until next week, au revoir, suckers.